Hey, everyone. In this week's episode, we continue our conversation with Melissa Zachman, Director of Catholic Identity and Mission at St. Michael Catholic School. This week, we're going to listen to the first half of a longer conversation Melissa and I had about desire, why God gave it to us, and then next week, we'll look at how to properly order our sexual desires. Thanks for joining us, and I know you will enjoy these next two episodes.
There are lots of people out there who will tell us that we shouldn't be looking at pornography, but there aren't many people showing us how to finally break free of porn. Without a mentor, without a guide, it's easy to get stuck in hopelessness and shame. The Freedom to Love podcast is here to be your mentor and your guide. We want to provide you with practical strategies and techniques to live free of porn forever. Then you'll be free to experience the love you really desire. Welcome back to the Freedom to Love podcast. My name is Jeremy Rohr. I am the founder of Freedom to Love. We are a ministry to mentor young men to live free of pornography and sexual sin. And we're in a series here with Melissa Zachman. She is the Director of Catholic Identity and Mission at St. Michael Catholic School in St. Michael, Minnesota. And we are blessed to have her with us. In our last episode, we were introduced to St. John Paul II's theology of the body. And in that, Melissa was talking a little bit about how John Paul put together this articulation that became the theology of the body to answer the question of who are we? What were we created for, particularly in the area of our humanity as man and woman, in our sexuality? And through that, our goal with this series is to begin to identify what our sexual desires are for. Because many times when we want to overcome pornography, we fall into the trap of just saying, well, I just want to stop doing this. And I'm here to propose to you that there's something better, that there's really a freedom in being able to live what our sexuality is for. And that in being able to do that, not only do you have freedom, but you also have joy. And that you'll have really what is the desire that God created in us. And so with that, this episode, Melissa, what I would love to do is just talk about, let's go into that. What does John Paul have to say about sexual desire? Why did God give this to us? And eventually you can get to it, but how come it went off the rails so bad?
That's a beautiful question. Why did the Lord give us desire? I think in general, well, let's take a moment and maybe talk about desire and what it means, because I think it's one of those words that we could all come up with 100 different definitions. But I love the beautiful Oxford Dictionary and the way it helps us to break down the etymology of words. So desire comes from the Latin word desiderare. And there's a couple different ways you could break that out within the Latin. But one particular way you could break it down is from the stars. And it's this idea that desire is something I'm waiting for. It's this longing that I have within me. And we, as a creature of here and not yet, a creature of pilgrimage, even from the beginning, right? Christ creates Adam, and even in his creation, before Eve is present to him, he has this longing in him. He is literally built to be a gift for another. And so from the beginning, this desire for something more, something greater, and this idea that from the stars, this something divine, right? For the ancients, being amongst the stars would be to be amongst the gods. And so there's something innate in the human heart that longs for something divine. And we see tucked in Genesis so beautifully these articulations of that man is created for woman, and something in there being made for the other is something exactly divine, that it's image and likeness language that points to this relationship or this reflection of God himself. And so at the very heart of who man is in the beginning is a design to make a gift of myself to the other. And in that making a gift of myself, there's somehow that I get caught up in this image and likeness of the very Trinity who created and started it all. And so from the Christian perspective, desire is good. It is healthy. It is not something to be tucked under a carpet or run from. It's something that, when we properly respond to it, can set us on a trajectory for eternal life and eternal glory. But when it's flipped in, when it's inverted, it can spontaneously combust. And sometimes I think when we respond to or we look at our sexual desires, it's like overcoming an internal rocket system inside myself that's trying to reorient, and the world is giving me one answer and the church sometimes it feels like it's giving me another. And if we stop and choose to respond, not just react to our desires, I think desire has the potential to help us become saints, not just a desire to overcome some temptation, but it has the capacity to reorient us when buckled against our intellect and our will. And it helps us to become virtuous and overcome temptation and to live fully into that image and likeness language that Christ speaks in the beginning over humanity.
Yeah, it's as you're saying this, these are very lofty ideals.
Yeah.
These are intrinsic qualities. And, you know, if somebody's listening to this, they're like, just Jeremy, Melissa, just help me stop. I just want to stop.
Yeah.
You know, again, we hold out that our encouragement is to invite God into this. One of my favorite scriptures of all times is Romans 8:28, that in all things, God works together for good for them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And I know that if you're a person that's struggling with pornography, I understand the frustration. I understand the shame. I can relate to that. But God wants so much more than to just have you not looking at pornography.
Mm-hmm.
He wants so much more than to just not have you sin. And so, Melissa, as I hear you saying this, part of what I want the listener to make the connection with is that these really are the deeper desires that bring the real satisfaction that we want, that we don't have to just settle for these things. I know one of your mentors in this is Christopher West, and he has the great analogy he uses that God wants us to eat at this glorious wedding feast and this buffet, but so often we settle for fast food and are eating out of a dumpster even sometimes, you know, when it comes to our sexual desire. And so for the listener, just that we hold out that there is something better, there is something glorious that will satisfy that.
And I don't know if this would be a good moment to maybe, can I build off that image for a second?
Sure.
When Christopher West uses that analogy, sometimes he'll parallel it with the way that we use our desire. And I love and I appreciate, because being a teacher, sometimes I get stuck in the lofty and get stuck in the intellectual. And your desire and passion through our conversations is, what does it mean practically for us?
Yeah.
I think when we look at those three images of the banquet, that's an easy, we know that to be heaven. But what are maybe our two temptations? And then how do we reorient those temptations towards heaven? When it comes to desire, which we know is good, which in my own struggles to choose a life of purity and chastity, which we all have, that we're not alone, because we're human incarnate beings with passion and desire, that we have really two key temptations within the image to go to the dumpster, which to call pornography a dumpster both feels appropriate and inappropriate hand in hand, because it says that there's something not good about this action, but also that there's something that could potentially be really good about this done in the right way, like this pursuit of the other done in a right way. But thinking of the dumpster and pornography as linked together, Christopher also sometimes uses the language of when our desires turn to the world. So God has planted in us this desire for himself and this desire to be with him forever. And that's at the heart of sexual desire, is this longing for eternity that can't be met here, right? At the deepest heart of all desire is this longing for eternity that can't be filled here. But when we take that intense desire and we turn it to the world, we develop this posture of, give me an infinite good out of a finite thing. And I think for me, in my own pursuit of virtue, in my own pursuit of overcoming temptations, it was this first, just this simple step of recognizing, one, that my desire was good, which we've already named, but two, that this earthly thing won't fill me. Like stepping back into my intellect, like you did with the image of the podcast in the last conversation we had, this recognition of I'm able to choose to respond to this stimuli, whatever it might be, that the world gives me in whatever way, shape, or form, that I might be utterly desired to pour out myself towards and go, wait, this thing is a finite thing. It's a limited thing. Whether it's my spouse or an image, I'm not meant to abuse either. And so this just drawing back into my intellect and having enough knowledge to go, pause. What is this intended for? What am I longing to get out of it? Which is way easier said than done in the moment, right? It takes weeks and months and years of training our hearts and minds to choose to respond and not just react. And so for me, that first maybe practical step of walking away from the dumpster, maybe I'm not even ready to run towards the banquet yet, but those first steps of saying, oh, I'm an intellectual creature. And I'm not just meant to have this carnal response to anything within the world, whether it's sex or drugs or whatever it might be. All of these things that are trying to fill an infinite longing in my heart to be able to step back, run to the sacrament of confession, right, when we fall, but to invite the Lord to help us have eyes to see with our hearts and minds that we're not meant to seek the infinite within the finite. Like, Lord, grant me the grace. Because even John Paul II talks a ton about how married couples themselves can fall into this temptation of this addiction type mentality of seeking from the world what's only meant to come from him. The other step within that, which I think is we're heading towards the right direction. I love when you speak of desire and sin, particularly sexual desire leading us to sin. I think so often we sin at its heart is an archer's term, like bow and arrow archer. Its original English means to set one's aim. Sorry, sin doesn't mean that, but when destiny means to set one's aim, and sin means to miss the mark. And so when we say that something is a sin within the church, it's not God or Holy Mother Church sitting in the corner judging us and wagging her finger at us and saying, you're getting it all wrong. It's Holy Mother Church saying, maybe 99% of what you're about is good, but it's missing the mark. And the further it misses the mark, we know at a certain point it becomes mortal sin because it fully turns us away from Christ and the gospel. And maybe that's where the dumpster image would come from of we're far enough away. But I would say it's equally not a good use of desire if we become the stoic. So the three images parallel to your image or the three articulations, that eating out of the dumpster being like the addict who turns to the world and seeks an infinite good from a very finite thing. And it just doesn't nourish us. It's not good for us. We run back to it maybe even more quickly because it's so finite that when we're able to step back and go, okay, what's better? Right? Can I take a step in the right direction? Can I reset my aim a little better towards my destiny? Sometimes we fall into that place of looking towards fast food, which I love. Christopher West talks often about we're not meant to white knuckle our way through becoming saints or from here to heaven. And maybe the fast food analogy piece falls short a little bit in the parallel. But when we take our desire and look towards the world, that's the addict. When I take my desire and try to shut it off, then I have this vantage point of becoming a stoic, that my desire is bad, kind of the purity culture or mindset that we talked about in the last one. And that's not a Christian response either, right? We're not meant to shut off our desire. We're not meant to become only a person who pursues desire, but we're meant for something even greater. St. Augustine, one of my favorite lines, and I would always use it with freshmen at the last school that I was at, because they have this image of what desire is meant to be and what is good and what the Christian image of longing and passion. St. Augustine would say, he who is lost in passion, right? The addict, he who's lost in passion is less lost than the one who's lost his passion. So the addict is almost in a greater place than the stoic because he's not just turning off his passions. That if you know anything of science and inertia, right, he still has momentum. And so to take that desire to practice my own rational being, my rational thought to reorient it, but then to say, oh, it's not just meant to be a fire hydrant that shut off. It's meant to be something I redirect. And how do I redirect those pieces? I know is at the heart of your question, that we're trying to answer a little bit of. But I think for me, standing within our own intellectual creation and being able to choose to respond to my desire, to not shut it off. It's not just, and when I say not shut it off, what I mean is, I don't mean keep going back to the dumpster. What I mean is to have a reverence for what's welling up in my heart. Because what's welling up in the heart that pursues pornography is the longing for something greater than myself, the longing for something that's going to bring good, not only like physically to me, but it's this longing of, gosh, there's something outside of me. There's something greater than me that I'm meant to pour myself out to. And to be able to reorient that and to be able to hold that and go, what is this meant for? Well, when we look to John Paul II's words, that's when we start to get that answer. And that's when we can start to run that race towards that ultimate good, towards that ultimate gift of self. Because we learn in Genesis that that desire is meant for a good. It's meant to be a gift to the other. It's meant to be poured out, like you and I attempt to pour ourselves out for our spouses.
Hey, everyone. We're going to pause this episode right here. Next week, we'll continue our conversation about desire and how we can direct our desires and order them to stay in line with God's will. Until then, if you would like to learn more about our ministry, check out our website at freedomtolove.org. God bless.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Freedom to Love podcast. If you enjoyed our podcast, please rate us on iTunes and share us with a friend. Until next time, remember what St. Paul wrote in his letter to the Galatians. Brothers, you were called for freedom. God bless.